Right, from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very, very good morning, Mike.
So we'll come to the oil in a moment, but let's talk about jobs. We did, in fact, overall, the headlines were all about the construction jobs we lost, but overall we've actually provided more jobs.
Slightly, yes. So we're bidding farewell to March now, aren't we? But the conflict is still going, and we will now, I think, start to see some impacts on our New Zealand data. Probably sentiment related sort of initially, but yesterday Stats New Zealand released what are called the monthly employment indicators. This is for the month of February. This is data from inland revenue filings, and the number of filled jobs did lift in February. So seasonally adjusted 0.3%. So in real numbers, that's 7,164 jobs, and the total number of filled jobs now sitting at 2.35 million across the country. You've got to note about this data though, this number will get revised as inland revenue tends to receive a lot of data a little bit late, so it gets revised. In fact, the January number was revised lower. We're seeing hiring into government-funded services there holding up, primary industries holding up. Look, Mike, we sort of trawled through these numbers yesterday, and they have been put forward as one sign that the economy is improving. And I have to say, if you're a sort of glass-half-full mindset, you could say that the data is trending up. But what you're actually seeing is on a year-on-year basis, the filled jobs isn't falling anymore. So I think stabilising is a better representation. The upward trend isn't exactly compelling, so I really hope we aren't kidding ourselves here. It does go without saying that sort of in February, we were cruising towards that anticipated economic recovery until the Trump administration decided to, take military action against the Iranian Republic, and you've got the subsequent hike in fuel prices, geopolitical instability, which will undoubtedly hit our short-term confidence. So this, you could see a hiccup in these numbers over the next couple of months. These risks are material. They're present in growth, they're present in inflation. So potentially, I sort of have to put the warning out there right now, we might not see the unemployment rate fall or recover quite as quickly as we had hoped.
Okay, oil, talk to me. It was up, but it's down a smidge if you want to be, once again, glass half full.
Exactly. So, yeah, another week, another weekend of headlines and developments in the Middle East. So global markets, so we open up, we're the first market to open, and then global markets opened up after the weekend. Yeah, the oil price is still elevated. It's over $110. It has been higher in the last 24 hours. Look, Mike, in the short term, this movement is still very much headline driven. I keep counselling people to look past the headlines. I mean, we are seeing a little bit of movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz. There's a few going through, but it's not, it's not open yet, is it? But it does feel like from an economic point of view, the conflict is entering a slightly more dangerous phase. That's because financial markets are increasingly viewing this as a prolonged shock to oil prices. And the concurrent risk of this is that we see a more uniform move higher in all commodity prices. And the faith in the ability of the US administration to control the outcome is eroding. But, Mike, overnight, Donald Trump's favorite Federal Reserve Governor, Jerome Powell, he's been speaking at a Harvard University event. His comments have soothed the nerves of the US Treasury market. They've fallen quite a bit. He said that the tariffs had a one-time impact on inflation. Remember tariffs? We used to talk about that.
Yep.
Inflation impacts are well anchored. The Fed will reach its 2% goal, which has placated market concerns about any more longer-term effect on interest rate. After a bit of an ugly close on Friday night, US share markets are steady. We also had those comments from Scott Bessent as well that they'll fix this. They'll just take over the Straits of Hormuz. I'm still not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Speaking of bad things, when am I hearing from KMD?
Oh, my KMD. It's an unfolding story, Mike. So the shares yesterday, they went into what's called a voluntary suspension. So we knew they'd gone into a trading halt. We should get news today. The investment bankers and the company's been working very hard over the weekend over a potential capital raise. This looks very much now like a rescue plan as opposed to a capital raise. I do note that the ACC and government super own 20% of KMD Brands. That's you and me, Mike, and all of us. Look, we expect to hear something out of them today, so we'll come back to this tomorrow morning, and we are going to hope that this is good news.
Yeah, well, we wish them well. What are the numbers?
Okay, so the Dow Jones is up 150 points. That's a third of a percent gain, 45,315. The S&P 500 is up 5 points, 6374. And the NASDAQ has actually fallen in the last few minutes, down 0.39%, 20,866. The FTSE 100 had a nice bounce, 1.6% overnight, 10,127. The Nikkei, this was yesterday when we were all still, we hadn't gone positive yet. It fell 1,487 points, 2.79%, 51,885. The Shanghai Composite gained 10,392.3. The Aussies yesterday lost 0.65%, 8,460. The close on the ASX 200. The NZX 50 didn't have a great day, lost 1.44%, 186 points, 12,748. On the currencies, Mike, Kiwi dollar, lowest we've seen it since December, 0.5716, against the Aussie, 0.8337, against the Euro, 0.4989, 0.4334 against the pound, the yen, 91.14, gold is $4,537, and I think the last time I checked, Brent crude was $112.63.
Yeah, well, catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.